It's happening, readers. We have heard that you want paperbacks from our tailored book recommendation service called TBR. And I'm delighted to let you know that we're going to be in sync with your request. That's right. We're bringing paperbacks. Whether you hate carrying around bulky hardcovers, you're on a budget, you want a wider range of recommendations, or all of the above, now you can get a paperback subscription from TBR curated just for you by one of our bibliologists. Get all the details at mytbr.co. That's mytbr.co. We're bringing paperbacks.
You're listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm Tirza Price, coming to you from Book Riot. This is episode 325.5, and this week I'm going to be diving into the stacks to talk about two great Japanese mysteries.
It's happening, readers. We have heard that you want paperbacks from our tailored book recommendation service called TBR, and I'm delighted to let you know that we're going to be in sync with your request. That's right. We're bringing paperbacks. Whether you hate carrying around bulky hardcovers, you're on a budget, you want a wider range of recommendations, or all of the above, now you can get a paperback subscription from TBR curated just for you by one of our bibliologists. Get all the details at mytbr.co. That's mytbr.co. We're bringing paperbacks.
So, I recently read a Japanese mystery that's been on my TBR for quite a while, and that is the inspiration for today's theme. So, one is lighter, not quite as dark, kind of more of a procedural, but really focusing on everyday people. And it kind of feels like on the level of like a Sherlock Holmes or Agatha Christie novel. The other one gets quite dark. So, I'm going to start with the lighter pick first. My first recommendation is Newcomer by Kigo Higashino, translated by Giles Murray. It is part of the Detective Kaga series, which I believe from my, Googling and light research, that series is translated and published out of chronological and publication order here in the U.S., which sometimes happens with mystery series that are, originally published in other languages. However, I don't think you need to worry too much about that if you like to read things in order, because I just read this book. It's my first book by Higashino. I didn't feel like I was missing out on anything, and that's in part because this novel has a very interesting and kind of clever structure. So the book is broken down into 9 sections, and the sections kind of feel like their own little short story or vignette, offering you a slice of life about all these various characters and communities in this neighborhood in Tokyo. So we learn that there has been a murder of a 40-year-old woman in an apartment building nearby. And that woman was, recently divorced, and she moved into an apartment and was really new to the area. She didn't really seem to know a lot of people in the area, and not a lot of people knew her because she was new. So we discover this because Detective Kaga, who's kind of like the central, he's the central character in the sense that like he's kind of the unifying force of this book. So he comes to pay each of the characters that are featured in every section a visit. And even though we don't really ever get into his point of view at first, it's obvious that he's kind of the more main important character. So he asks all these characters these seemingly harmless questions that turn out to be very important because he is investigating this murder mystery. And it's also, important to note that these little sequences are somewhat non-linear, but it's an interesting approach because you slowly learn details about the murder and Kaga's investigation. And in each section, he's asking questions, he's eliminating suspects, he's narrowing in on certain suspects. But again, you don't really get into his perspective at first, so you're not quite sure where he's going, and that's kind of part of the mystery. So the focus of this book is on the people surrounding the crime, some of whom who don't even know the victim, and just kind of maybe had, 2 degrees of separation with her, or, saw her in passing. And it's kind of a clever way to tell a mystery because you really have to pay attention to like the most minute details in order to put it together. And it's also an interesting case study in how when you're writing a mystery or just, you know, coming up with one in general, it's important to have like every suspect and every person kind of connected to the murder mystery. Like they all have their own, you know, secrets and lives and motivations. And sometimes those things might, you know, make them suspects or make them look suspicious, but it doesn't always mean that they are always involved in the crime. And it's also a really interesting example of like how to create tension in just like a small amount of space. Because again, you just, you know, you have all these different sections and they're all different characters. And you kind of get the feeling at the end of each section, like, you know, you wrap up that character's like contribution to this overall book. So Kaga kind of comes across as this like part Poirot, part Sherlockian type character where he, you know, is kind of unassuming and polite at first. And he acts like he's everyone's friend and he's kind of self-deprecating, but he really does notice details and he really hones in on him. You get the sense that there's not much that will trip him up and it's just a matter of time before he pulls it all together. So, you know, I will say about this book, there isn't much focus on the victim or, you know, potential suspects and their motivations and like the crime scene. And I know that, you know, it's big criticism in mystery and thriller, especially, you know, recently, but going back through the genre for over 100 years, you know, the commodification of violence against women is a big thing. Like, you know, people tend to focus more on the crime, the killer, the sort of salacious details of that rather than the fact that, like, you know, somebody was murdered. So this book, like I said, focuses more on the community and less on the victim. And I think that is a very purposeful choice in this book because it's an intentionally sort of experimental structure that is interesting. I don't necessarily think that it's meant to be disrespectful, but if that is something that you don't personally like reading in your crime fiction, just a heads up. You know, content warning, there's, you know, some talk of violence, but I don't recall any major, you know, graphic content or content warnings that you need to be aware of. However, my next pick is much darker. It has all the content warnings. So if you don't want to hear about it, I mean, feel free to end this episode now. No hard feelings. But my next pick is another great Japanese mystery thriller. And I recommend it if you've got a strong stomach. It is Out by Natsuo Kurino, translated by Steven Snyder. And content warnings here for violence, mutilation, domestic abuse, and sexual assault in graphic detail. Those are the ones I remember. I can't remember any others, but I mean, those ones are pretty intense. So just suffice to say that this book is dark and intense. So it is about four women who work in a box lunch factory on the outskirts of Tokyo, and they work the night shift. And, you know, because they are kind of, you know, working at night and they also are like lower middle class, it automatically kind of puts them you know, not quite on the edge of society, but like really kind of on that line. So they are all somewhat unhappy and don't have necessarily happy lives. But the reasons for that vary wildly. Like, you know, some of them have abusive or absent husbands. Some have money problems, ungrateful families, you know, that sort of thing. So it's, you know, a wide range of experiences. So one night, one of the women, she snaps and she kills her husband, who is very abusive. And in a panic, because she doesn't really know what to do next, she confesses to her three coworkers what she's done. And they agree to help her dispose of the body, which is a somewhat grisly affair. But this also sets off a chain of events that gets them, you know, just into deeper and darker trouble. You know, they catch the attention of the police, but they also catch the attention of some very bad men who kind of offer them a proposition. And as they struggle to find a way out of their situation, it sort of becomes clear that they might not be able to escape what they have, you know, found themselves in without facing that darkness that, you know, they brought down on themselves. And I don't mean that in like a judgmental way, but once you make the decision to dispose of the body, like, obviously things aren't gonna always go well for you. So this is a really emotionally intense novel. about characters who might not always be likable, but I do think that they are, to a certain extent, sympathetic. You know, these women do, like I said, live on the edge, like not just, you know, working the night shift, but like they're not quite old, but they're no longer young. They're not quite pretty enough to be noticed, but they're not, you know, so, you know, unremarkable that they're entirely invisible either. Their relationship is really interesting because at first you're like, oh, this is a friendship, but it also turns into something much more complicated throughout the book, especially as, you know, certain aspects of society try to pit them against one another. There's a lot of interesting commentary about social class and socioeconomics, and I enjoyed that aspect of the book because I felt like I learned a lot about the middle class in Japan while also, you know, exploring a dark thriller. So the climax of this book made me very uncomfortable. It's probably one of the first times that I've ever been reading a book that I was, for the most part, really enjoying, and then got to something that, like, I had to put down because it was just too intense. It is a sexual assault scene, so just know that that is there, because I think I probably would have liked a warning. It's an intense book, but you might need to take the occasional break from it. Ultimately, though, I think what kept me coming back to it was the writing is just so good. It's very vivid. It reminds me of, like, noir writing where everything's gritty and morally gray. The way the author just writes so beautifully about such dark subjects was really compelling. And, you know, as are the characters, the setting, I mean, even the crimes being committed, as dark as that sounds. It's not always pleasant to look at, but the author writes it in such a way where you kind of have a hard time looking away. So that is out by Natsuo Kurino. And that is it for me this week, book nerds. I hope that you are well stocked for the weekend ahead with tons of great books. And you can find a list of the books I mentioned today in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/allthebooks. And if you enjoy this podcast, please show us some love by leaving us a rating or review. Let us know if you picked up one of the books we recommended, as we love to hear about it. And it helps other book lovers find us. And thank you, as always, to our amazing sound editor, Jen Zink. If you want to connect with me or see pictures of my books and very sassy cats, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Tears of Price. That's TIRZAHPRICE. And I will be back next month on a regular episode of All the Books with Liberty and more backlist recommendations very soon. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.